Dimple waited, one eyebrow raised.
"Spirited," Rishi finished, in a way that implied he'd considered and then decided against using a much less complimentary adjective.
He put the ring back in his pocket and, after a moment, held out the picture to her. She took it. Rubbing the back of his neck, he said,
"So, this is awkward."
"Yeah," Dimple began, and then she stopped. "You know what? Why is this awkward for us? The only people it should be awkward for are my parents." She pulled out her cell phone right there in the lobby. "I'm going to give them a piece of my mind."
Rishi nodded slowly. "Okay, well, I guess I'll leave you to it then."
She grabbed his arm. "Oh no, you stay right there. You're their victim too." Dimple dialed home and wasn't surprised when it went to voicemail. "So, you two think you're being clever, do you?" she said in her most biting voice, her breath coming hard and fast. "What did you think was going to happen? That I'd get here and fall into his arms?" She saw Rishi blush and hurried to add, "I'm sure you'll make some girl very happy someday, but that girl is not me." She jabbed righteously at her own chest. "So I hope you know you've ruined everything. I hope you're ready to tell your friends..." She covered the cell phone mic and spoke to Rishi. "What are their names?"
"Karthik and Sunita,"
he whispered back. Dimple turned back to the phone.
"Karthik and Sunita, that you've effectively ruined your decades-long friendship because you decided to deceive your only daughter. Goodbye."
She hung up, heart still racing, adrenaline coursing through her veins.
"Ridiculous," she muttered,
hands on her hips. Then, looking up at Rishi, she said, "So, what, do you live in San Francisco?" He shook his head.
"I live in Atherton, with my parents and brother. I'm here for Insomniacon, like you." "Oh. At least he wasn't here solely for her."
"So, what are you going to do now?"
Rishi shrugged. "I had planned for us to get to know each other, but obviously that's not going to happen."
He smiled a little crookedly, and Dimple saw the strain in it. He was trying hard not to show how disappointed he really was. She felt a stab of sympathy for him and a harsher, meaner stab of anger at her parents.
"I'll probably hang out in my room for a while."
He raised his hand stiffly in goodbye and began to walk away toward the elevators. Something inside her sank at the sight of his retreating back. She didn't want him to go just yet. Dimple heard herself call out, "Wait!" Rishi turned, eyebrows raised. "If you want, you could, you know, come to lunch with me and my friend Celia. If you're hungry, that is." She stopped short, unsure where exactly the invitation had come from. It was obviously just that she felt some sort of kinship with him because of what had happened, Dimple told herself quickly. They were like two trauma survivors, the victims of her parents. She was just being a decent human being, nothing more. Rishi smiled again, but fully this time, unrestrained. It was like watching the sun rise, Dimple thought, or the streetlights come on at dusk. Gradual, powerful, brilliant in a way.
"Thanks," he said, walking toward her. "I'd like that."
Chapter 6. Rishi. They walked to Little Gator Pizzeria side by side, the silence stretching on. Rishi was hyper-aware of everything, the way Dimple felt walking beside him, how he could see the top of her head, how the curls on her left side were invading his personal space, and how he didn't mind, not one bit. When the breeze blew, he could smell her shampoo, like coconuts and jasmine. Oh, gods. He'd just inhaled deeply, and now she was looking at him funny. Rishi tried to smile casually.
"So, who's this friend? Do you know each other from Fresno?"
Dimple shook her head and adjusted her messenger bag.
"No, we met in the Insomniacon forum and decided to room together."
He stared at her, waiting for the punchline.
"You're kidding, right?"
She raised an eyebrow.
No?
You seriously met a stranger online and decided you'd live with her for 2 months, sight unseen?
She sighed.
It's 6 weeks. And there's no need to make the air quotes around the word her. It really is a she. I checked her out on Facebook.
Rishi huffed a laugh, incredulous.
He was beginning to doubt Stanford's reputation.
Did you honestly not see the logical fallacy there? You're checking to see if this person's online persona is fake online.
Well,
Dimple said as they rounded the corner and came to a stop in front of the Little Gator Pizzeria. The smell of grease and cheese clotted the air. Her eyes widening behind her glasses, she leaned in closer.
Either we're about to get hacked to pieces by a serial killer, or we're about to enjoy some pizza. Only time will tell.
Rishi reached out to get the door for her, but with a flourish, she opened the door herself and walked in. A girl in the corner with a trendy, caramel-colored, 2-foot-tall mass of curls and huge hazel eyes grinned and stood, grabbing Dimple in a hug she clearly hadn't been expecting. She wore giant heels that made her tower over Dimple, but without them, Rishi guessed they'd be about the same height.
Dimple! You made it!
Dimple pulled back and grinned.
How did you know it was me? Facebook, of course, the girl said, laughing.
Dimple tossed a triumphant look Rishi's way. He sighed and made his way over.
Oh, hello.
The girl smiled a little suggestively.
Who's this? You didn't tell me you were bringing a friend.
Somehow she made the word friend sound naughty. Dimple sat and, after a moment, scooched over so Rishi could sit next to her in the booth. He tried to ignore the way his pulse stuttered a bit at that.
That's because I didn't know,
she said.
Celia Ramirez, this is Rishi Patel. Rishi, this is Celia.
Enchanté, Celia said, taking his hand.
I ordered a large pepperoni pizza. I hope that's okay with the two of you. Totally,
Dimple said, just as Rishi said. I don't eat meat. They looked at each other.
I'll go order a cheese, he said, after a beat, sliding back out of the booth.
Add another item to the 1,001 ways we're incompatible list, Rishi thought. As he ordered at the counter, he watched Dimple, totally relaxed in a way she hadn't been with him, talking to Celia. And not for the first time in the past hour, Rishi wondered how his parents could have made such a big mistake.
Dimple. Seriously? Celia said, ogling Rishi open-mouthed.
Stop staring at him, Dimple hissed. And yes, seriously. My parents are so deranged, it's not even funny.
And he brought his great-grandmother's ring to your first meeting.
Celia, clearly not well-versed in the way of certain Indian families, could not seem to wrap her head around this fact. Dimple sighed.
I really just feel kind of bad for him. I mean, it's got to be embarrassing.
But he's taking it like a champ. He's a lot calmer than I am. I cannot wait to rip my parents a new one. She shredded her straw wrapper with gusto. They can't hide from me forever.
It's sort of romantic, Celia said, smiling a little, turning back to Dimple. Don't you think?
Romantic?
Dimple sputtered on her sip of water. Setting her glass back down, she said,
Please, I'm frickin' 18 years old. Marriage is the last thing on my mind.
Well, I'm 17, so right back at you, Celia said. But still, I mean, just the fact that, you know, he could potentially be the one, there's a kind of magic in that.
Dimple tossed a glance over at Rishi. He was walking over to the soda fountain. Every movement of his was sure, calm, confident.
I don't know, she said finally, just as the waiter brought their pizzas over. I guess I just don't see it.
Rishi. When Rishi sat down, there was a weird sort of hesitant, crackling silence in the air. He sighed and looked at Celia.
She told you, didn't she? About the arranged marriage thing?
Dimple stiffened beside him,
And Celia nodded.
She did.
And you think it's crazy, he said.
Uh-huh.
Celia chewed the giant piece of pizza she'd bitten off before speaking.
I also think it's romantic,
she grinned.
A predestined romance.
Rishi smiled. Maybe this girl wasn't a serial killer after all.
Sort of. But arranged marriages are more about practicalities than romance. Compatibility, a long-term partnership, that sort of thing.
Beside him, Dimple snorted. He turned to her.
I'm guessing you don't agree.
Compatibility may be what it's ostensibly about,
Dimple responded, pushing her glasses up on her nose.
But it's really just a way for our parents to control us. I mean, that's even how the institution of marriage was born. So fathers could form alliances and use their children, especially their daughters, as pawns in their battle for power.
She ripped off a piece of pizza and chewed angrily.
Jeez, did she ever relax?
Well, since our parents aren't Rajas and Ranis, I don't think that's what it's about.
Celia laughed.
Raja, that's king, right?
Right,
Rishi smiled. And Rani is queen.
So you're bilingual?
Celia asked. Rishi nodded.
Yeah, I learned Hindi first, before English. My parents were really adamant about that. They're technically from Gujarat, but they're third-generation Mumbaiites, so they speak Hindi. Mumbai is like this huge melting pot of people from other Indian states, so apparently everyone speaks this special version of what my parents call Bombay Hindi.
His eyes were far off, and he had this small smile on his lips. It was obvious he loved talking about this stuff.
That's so cool,
Celia said.
I wish I knew more than, like, 5 words of Spanish. Have you ever been to Mumbai? Are you really interested in web development, or are you just here for this?
Dimple interjected, gesturing between herself and him. If Rishi didn't know better, he'd say she was irritated at how he and Celia were hitting it off. Jealousy? He wondered hopefully. But he had to be practical. She likely had just wanted to have an impassioned discussion about the evils of arranged marriages and controlling parents and was disappointed it wasn't coming to fruition. Rishi shrugged and ate another bite of pizza.
Both. I mean, I'm starting at MIT in the fall for computer science and engineering, so this is a good thing to have on my CV.
But web development isn't your passion.
Dimple's eyes narrowed.
It's not your dream.
No, Rishi said slowly. I guess not.
You spent $1,000 on something that you're not passionate about?
She stared at him, seemingly dumbfounded.
So he wants to expand his horizons. Don't be so judgy,
Celia said.
Whatever. You just better not be my partner,
Dimple muttered, turning back to her pizza.
Believe me, that sounds totally fine to me, Rishi said.
He felt the stirrings of irritation.
Why did she have to be so intense? What did it matter to her whether or not he wanted to marry web development and have its babies? You know, I think I'm going to head back to my dorm, he said, wiping his hands on his napkin. I need to unpack and all that.
Aww, are you sure?
Celia said, and he got the feeling she genuinely liked his company.
Yeah, he smiled. But I'll see you both tomorrow in class.
The silence was heavy while Rishi stood and left a hefty tip on the table so they wouldn't have to. He knew they were just waiting for him to leave so they could talk about him. Sighing, he headed to the door and stepped out into the afternoon sunshine.
Chapter 7. Dimple. The bell above the door clanged shut as Rishi disappeared onto the sidewalk. Dimple continued munching on her pizza, ignoring the tiny pit in her stomach even though she could feel Celia's gaze heavy on her face.
Ahem.
Dimple rolled her eyes. No one says ahem. You're supposed to just clear your throat. Celia waved an insouciant hand. Her many wooden bangles clattered together.
So pretend I just cleared my throat. Did you have to be so mean to him?
I wasn't mean, just honest. Wouldn't it be crueler to make him think there was some hope that I'd come around and just embrace all of this? She took a sip of water, feeling the pit in her stomach grow. Guilt, she thought. It was guilt. Celia had a point. Rishi was a perfectly nice guy, and Dimple had sentenced him to 1,000 lashes of her sharp tongue. Speak first, think later. That was her default setting, no matter how she tried to control it. Dimple sat up straighter, quashing those thoughts. She'd sent Rishi Patel away. There was no reason to be all weak and second-guess her choices now. Celia wound one of her long curls around her finger.
I guess.
Dimple wondered how she could stand having hair that fell to her waist. She'd have to be careful not to mention this to Mama, or she'd probably phone Celia for tips on how to convince Dimple to grow her hair out, too. And it wouldn't matter that they'd never spoken to each other before in their lives. Okay, I'm done talking about boys. Dimple leaned forward and smiled. What do you think the prize is going to be for this year's InsomniaCon?
Ooh.
Celia rubbed her hands together, eyes shining.
I don't know, but it's definitely something epic. There are rumblings that they really went all out this year. Everyone thinks it's going to be a personalized letter with feedback from Jenny Lent, but I'm guessing a cash prize of like 10 grand.
Dimple shook her head. No, I bet it's something way crazy cooler than that. They don't generally do cash prizes with InsomniaCon. That's usually what they do for the talent show about halfway in, remember? Maybe it'll be like feedback and a signed copy of Jenny Lynn's next memoir or something. Celia laughed.
Your Jenny Lent obsession knows no bounds. You know what your big project's gonna be yet?
I have a pretty solid idea, Dimple said, trying not to show how ridiculously excited she was about it. She'd thought of it last year, and honestly, she was going to code this app somehow, whether or not she came to InsomniaCon. But the idea of doing it on such a large scale was even more thrilling. She checked. There was nothing on the market quite like it. She couldn't share it with Celia. That was one of the rules of InsomniaCon. Only your partner could know what you were working on. I haven't fully fleshed it out yet, though. You?
I'm still thinking about it. Nothing's really jumped out at me. I wouldn't mind working with you on your idea.
Celia grinned.
Do you think they'll make us partners?
I've heard roommates don't generally get made partners, Dimple said, pushing her empty plate aside. But fingers crossed. When her phone rang early the next morning, Dimple was dreaming that she was accepting an award on stage from Jenny Lent. Jenny beamed at her as she said something that Dimple was sure were effervescent compliments, but every time Jenny opened her mouth, all Dimple could hear were beeps. Sorry, Dimple kept saying in her dream. Can you repeat that? Finally, Celia called out from across the room.
Dimple, it's your phone, for the love of God. Answer it before I lose my mind.
Sorry, Dimple mumbled, reaching for her phone on her nightstand. She silenced it and looked at the screen. Anger shot through her, red hot. Suddenly she was very much awake. Grabbing it, she strode out into the hallway, shutting the door quietly behind her.
Mama! Dimple!
Her mother said, sounding forcefully jolly.
Kaisi ho beti? Did you unpack? How is the campus?
Oh, no. No.
You don't get to wake me up and ask me about the campus. Let's talk about the real issue here, shall we?
I woke you up?
But why, you're not already awake? It's the first day?
Dimple squeezed the phone tighter. Because the seminar doesn't start at the butt crack of dawn. Besides which, that is not even the point. Can you please focus, Mama? What the heck is up with Rishi Patel?
Up with him?
Mama feigned ignorance to slang, which just infuriated Dimple more.
Seriously, where did she get this stuff?
I don't know what you mean, Dimple.
Mama, please. Why did you and Papa do this?
Why are you trying to set me up with some dude I've never heard of before in my life? You know that's not why I'm here. You know how important this is to me.
Dimple felt tears rising, pressing hot and furious against her eyelids.
For once, why couldn't her parents just be on the same page as her?
Dimple, Betty, Madro.
Mama sounded genuinely upset now.
Don't cry. We just wanted you to meet him. He's a good boy from a good family. You have a lot in common.
Dimple swiped at her eyes, ignoring the looks of a couple of early risers, probably headed out to coffee. They were all blurry to her anyway without her glasses on.
Don't you see? I don't care. He could be crafted from unicorn dust and jelly beans, and I still wouldn't want to have anything to do with him. I'm not interested in a marriage partner, Mama. Now or 10 years from now.
There was a shuffling, like Mama was holding the phone away from her. She heard her mumble in Hindi,
Vijay, you talk to her.
A pause, and then,
I don't know something about unicorns. I don't understand.
Dimple rolled her eyes and sighed, waiting for Papa to come on.
Dimple, Betty?
His voice, deep and soothing, comforting and familiar as a cotton t-shirt, made the lump rise in her throat again.
How could two people who loved her so much simply not get her on such a basic, essential level? Huh, Papa?
She drew in a shuddering breath.
I don't understand why you lied to me, both of you. You pretended you were agreeing to InsomniaCon for me, but this is... It's ridiculous, Papa. I'm not getting married.
No one wants you to get married now, Dimple. We just wanted to know if you and the Patel boy would be compatible. Down the road, who knows what might happen. It's not easy finding a good Indian family here in the States, no?
He paused, and a hard edge had crept into his voice when he spoke again.
Usne kuch kiya?
Dimple sank down against the wall, the fight going out of her. Papa's voice, his gentle, calm, reasonable demeanor, often had that effect.
No, he didn't do anything bad. He was perfectly fine, a gentleman. The truth was, her parents had done a good job picking someone who wasn't a total douche nozzle. But Papa, I'm just not in that place of thinking of him or any boy in that way. Can't you understand that?
Papa's breath crackled down the line. There was no judgment or anger in his voice when he said finally,
I understand.
She blinked. Was it going to be that easy?
Really? What about Mama?
She heard Papa's footsteps as he walked somewhere, likely away from Mama.
She will understand also. We just want your happiness, Dimple. That is the most important thing.
The lump was back. Dimple had to swallow a few times.
And what about InsomniaCon? Can I stay? Even if there's no chance of me and Rishi becoming a thing?
She heard the smile in Papa's voice.
Of course. When I said I think it's a good career decision, I meant it.
Dimple hung her head, relief and love and joy overpowering her.
Thank you, Papa.
Mujhse bas ek vaada karo, Dimple. Promise me just one thing.
Warily, Dimple said. What's that?
Win the InsomniaCon.
She grinned. He must have really read the website she sent him.
Oh, I plan to, she said.
Don't you worry, Papa.
Chapter 8. Dimple. Dimple felt a weird energy pulsing through her as she and Celia walked to the Andrew G. Spurlock building where InsomniaCon was hosted every year. In spite of the heavy fog rolling in, it was like some filmy gauze had been cleared from the atmosphere, or like a particularly nauseating stench had been done away with. Everything felt fresh and bright, swept clean.
There were no expectations on her anymore except to conquer the heck out of InsomniaCon, and that was exactly how she liked it. So she hadn't exactly spoken to Mama again. She was sure that wasn't going to be a fun conversation. And whenever she thought of Rishi, whom she hadn't seen at all today, in spite of being hyper-aware and spotting about a dozen different guys of his same build and height, she felt a twinge deep inside her. Because he wasn't a bad guy. In fact, he seemed to be really nice. There was an easy flow to their conversations, a sort of instantaneous shorthand, maybe because they came from similar backgrounds. If they'd been introduced under any other circumstances, they might have been friends. Maybe. Even with their similarities, they were just different enough that things could have been interesting. Or, you know, totally annoying, whatever. Why was she even wasting brain space on this? "Look at them," she whispered to Celia, refocusing her attention on the dozens of other InsomniaCon students milling in the same general direction as her and Celia, 98% of whom were male. "We can totally take them, right?" Celia made a sort of grunting noise from behind her Starbucks that sounded like "Toma," but Dimple was fairly certain was meant to be a "totally." It was 11 o'clock in the morning, and the girl was barely awake. Dimple got the impression that Celia was even less of a morning person than she was. Celia blinked and looked around a little bit more animatedly. "Hey, I don't see your friend Rishi." Dimple didn't want to admit it, but she'd noticed that too.
"Me either."
"Huh. Maybe he dropped out." Dimple wondered why that thought sat like a ball of lead in her stomach.
Rishi. He'd watched her go out the front doors with Celia, waited 5 minutes, and then headed out after them. He didn't want to be a pain in the ass. Rishi knew when he wasn't wanted. Ma and Papa had called for an update, and it had been so difficult to tell them the truth that it probably wasn't going to work out with him and Dimple. She just wasn't where he was. He could tell they were disappointed, but they'd tried to put on a brave front. And when they'd asked if he wanted to go back home, he'd seriously considered it. But then he'd decided to stay. It was too late to get a refund anyway, and besides, he didn't want Dimple Shaw to think he'd come all this way simply for her. Even if, in a way, he had. So his plan now was to go to InsomniaCon, learn a bit about web development, and then head off to MIT. He had nothing to lose. He walked in the weird, misty fog, listening to the students around him chatter like mockingbirds. He wondered how it could be that he just never fit in with his peers. It had always been that way. Apart from a few friends in the comic book fan community, he'd never really been able to relate. And it wasn't just that he took things so seriously when it came to being a good son or following the path his parents had so carefully laid down for him. It was something inside him that felt different. Off. Like he never truly showed the world who he was except when he was making art. But he'd known since the beginning that being an artist was a phase. It had to be. Creative pursuits had no place in the practicalities of real life. That's just how things worked, and Rishi was fine with it. Perhaps it was the burden of being the first son. Ashish certainly didn't have similar compunctions about his sports. But the thing was, there was already a framework for athletes to make it. Ashish could use his skills to put himself through college, to really make a name for himself, to open more doors. He was that good. Rishi was good too. But who really took comic book art seriously? People didn't tune in en masse to watch comic book artists sketch on TV, did they? They didn't have super sketch parties. Exactly. Rishi looked up and blinked. Was this some weird conjuring of his imagination? But no. Up ahead was a giant banner on which someone had drawn the manga characters Madoka and Sayaka from the anime Madoka Magica as students with SFSU t-shirts and satchels. SFSU Art Department,
it said underneath. At a table in front of the banner, students with hipster glasses and uncombed hair hung out, talking about whether Ferd Johnson was really the genius behind the 1920s comic strip Moon Mullins. Rishi blinked again. As if by some weird art law of attraction, he found his legs carrying him forward. The male student, reedy and tall, with a healthy smattering of acne across both cheeks, looked up and smiled.
"Hey, man, interested in a degree in art or graphic design?"
"No," Rishi thought. "Absolutely not."
"Maybe,"
he found himself saying instead.
"I'm into comic book art." "Cool, me too."
The reedy guy grinned in a now-we-can-be-pals way.
"Hey, you should come to Little Comic-Con. SFSU art students put it on, and it's open to the public. Some of our professors will be there, too, and we're going to have a few big names."
He thrust a flyer at Rishi.
"My name's Kevin Keough. Just look for me at the manga booth."
Rishi raised his eyebrows.
"Cool."
He looked down at the flyer. Little Comic-Con was a week away.
"I'll try to be there." "Great. I think you'd really enjoy it. That's what convinced me to apply to SFSU's art program."
Kevin smiled.
"Thanks."
He glanced at his watch.
"Crap. I gotta go."
Rishi hurried toward the Spurlock building.
Arg.
He was going to be late.
Dimple. Dimple was having a crisis. The good kind, if such a thing even existed. All around her, people sat, waiting expectantly for the man at the front of the lecture hall to begin talking. Some of them looked cocky, like that group over there with the two boys who looked like they'd stepped out of a hipster clothing catalog, and the blonde girl who wore a perpetual sneer, as if she were too good for all of this. One of the guys, the Indian one, caught her eye and made a creepy, gross gesture with his tongue, then burst out laughing when she looked away, heart-thumping. Others, like the group of boys in the very back, all about her height or shorter, and some with their baby fat still intact, looked terrified. Dimple glanced over at Celia and wondered how she and Celia appeared to others. She felt electrified, ready. "Isn't this exciting?" she said for the sixth time since they'd sat down. The instructor at the front, with a full beard and dressed in a colorful vest, was fiddling around with the mic on his podium. "There must be about 50 people in here, easy." "Yes," Celia smiled a little indulgently, Dimple thought. She definitely wasn't as fired up about all of this as Dimple was. Dimple had the feeling almost everything came easily to Celia. Her parents were extremely rich, so they'd paid for this without a second thought. It was just another way, like the sailing class Celia had taken already, to fill up the time until college began. "And I spy hot teas," Celia added in a sing-song, looking right at the group of hipster, model-beautiful people, ogling all of them, boys and girl. This time, they didn't notice Dimple looking. "Welcome to InsomniaCon," the bearded man boomed from the front of the class, beaming congenially around at all of them. The hall went instantly silent. "My name is Max Framer, and I'm your instructor for InsomniaCon. Please call me Max, not Mr. Framer. It helps us old folks feel young." A few people laughed. "I'm delighted to see another year of shiny new faces, and I'm so psyched to see what you guys come up with this year. Now, before we go on to what I know all of you really want to know," he paused, grinning, "i.e. InsomniaCon's grand prize, I want to go over some basic info and ground rules first. That'll ensure you guys actually listen to the words coming out of my mouth." There were groans and titters all around. Dimple was sure she'd go nuts if he didn't spill the beans soon. "So first, welcome to San Francisco, to those who aren't from our wonderful city. A couple of things of note. This may be summer, but the temperature can drop to the 60s or lower at night. You'll also become well acquainted with Carl." A few people like Celia chuckled, but Dimple just frowned, confused. "What?" she whispered to Celia. "Who's Carl?"
Celia whispered back. Fog. It's the fog that comes off the water. Dimple began to nod and then shook her head.
No, that's still confusing. You guys named a natural weather phenomenon?
Celia grinned. Welcome to San Francisco. At the front of the room, Max was still speaking. So next, I'm going to pair you guys up. I don't want you to pair with people you're rooming with, but if you indicated a preference on your application, I've taken that into account. Dimple hadn't met Celia until after she'd already put in an application, well before Papa and Mama had actually said yes. She had to save her spot, just in case. So they hadn't requested each other. She wondered whom she'd be paired with. Hopefully not that frosty blonde girl who looked like she ate little kids for dessert. Though Celia probably wouldn't mind, judging from the way she was still darting glances over at that group. Secondly, Max continued, once you find out who your partner is, I want you to begin sitting together so you can start working on your concept right away. Some of you may already have a notion of what you want to do, others won't. That's okay. All we'll focus on for the next 2 to 3 days is fleshing out your fledgling ideas. And then we'll get into the fun part, actual development.
There was a noticeable frisson through the room. Everyone was chomping at the bit to get started. Dimple was sure most, like her, knew exactly what they wanted to do.
Okay, Max said. Now, for the part you're all waiting for. The grand prize for this year's InsomniaCon. He paused, and the entire lecture hall held its breath. Jenny Lint will consider partnering with the winning team to make their app market-ready and fund the advertising. Your app could go out into the world with the power of Meeting Space Inc. behind it. Let that sink in.
The latter part of Max's words were swallowed by the pandemonium that erupted. Dimple turned to Celia, her eyes wide. She was in shock. She couldn't think of a single thing to say.
Well, it's settled then, Celia said casually. You're just going to have to kick some major butt.
Dimple shook her head. Her mouth was so dry, her lips stuck to her teeth. Her head swam until she could barely see. Was this real?
I can't even. Oh, my God. They've never done anything like this before.
This was everything. She had to win.
All right, Max raised his voice and everyone calmed down a bit, though there was a new energy in the room, buzzing, thrilling, churning through each of them. I'm going to begin calling out the partnerships. When I say both your names, come to the front row and have a seat.
The door opened right into the silence. Dimple turned. Of course. It was Rishi.
Chapter 9. Rishi. It was clear he'd missed something vital. Everyone's eyes were bright, their cheeks flushed. 50 pairs of eyes took in his presence, but 49 pairs of them didn't really seem to register him before they swiveled away. He saw Dimple instantly. Hers were the only pair of eyes that were attempting to incinerate him. He thrust his chin out and stepped forward. He had just as much right to be here as she did.
Oh, hey, hold on before you take a seat, the dude with the exuberant red beard at the front of the class said. I'm just about to call out partners, so you may as well take a seat with yours. What's your name?
Rishi Patel.
P. Patel. Ah, there you are. You're with Dimple Shah.
The instructor looked up into the sea of faces.
Dimple Shah?
Rishi didn't dare look at her.
Crap.
He'd totally forgotten he'd requested her on his application. It had seemed a good idea at the time, and he'd fully expected her to do it too. He'd thought it'd give them more time together, see how they worked in a partnership. She stood, and they walked to the front row together, Dimple's back straight, her shoulders set. Her body conveyed anger like a second language. She must have had a lot of practice. As soon as they sat down, she turned to him, eyes flashing.
You requested me, didn't you?
Rishi rubbed the back of his neck, his cheeks warming.
Yeah, but I thought you might request me too. Look, I'm gonna go up there at the end of class and talk to the dude about reassigning us, okay? So just chill.
His name is Max, which you'd know if you'd bothered to be here on time. You even missed the announcement of the grand prize.
She looked at him like she was accusing him of torching the redwood forests.
Oh yeah? What is it?
Rishi watched as the corners of her lips tugged upward in spite of herself. Her eyes shone behind her glasses, brilliant, fiery.
The winning partners will have a chance to pitch Jenny Lind their idea. If she likes it, she'll partner on marketing and development.
Dimple's voice was two octaves higher than usual when she finished, so Rishi knew whatever she said must be a big deal. He racked his brain trying to remember who the heck Jenny Lind was and came up empty. Okay. He could fake it for now and look her up later.
Great!
He grinned and tried to mirror her excitement.
That's so cool!
Dimple leaned in closer, and Rishi caught a waft of that maddening, amazing shampoo again.
Really? You're a Jenny Lind fan, too?
Her face was open, her eyes wide and soft in a way Rishi hadn't seen yet.
Oh, totally,
he said, thinking, I will be by the end of today if it makes you look at me like that. Dimple laughed.
I know, she's so great. What's been your favorite part of her success story so far?
Crap.
He kept the smile on his face. Okay, success stories. What do they all have in common?
How she came from nothing and became, you know, Jenny Lind.
Rishi thought he'd done pretty well, but Dimple was frowning.
She didn't exactly come from nothing. Her parents are both lawyers. They gave her the seed money for meeting space. It's in all her interviews.
Rishi felt his cheeks heat.
Traitorous body.
Dimple's brow cleared.
You don't know a single thing about her, do you?
She asked, leaning back and crossing her arms.
Had you even heard of her before today?
You know what? I'm, going to go talk to the instructor guy, Max,
he hurried to add, about reassigning us.
Yeah.
Dimple's eyes were now flat marbles behind her glasses. She would make a good serial killer.
You go do that.
Dimple. He had some nerve, lying to her like that.
The way she came from nothing, Dimple muttered mockingly. What a jerk.
Maybe Max would make an exception this one time and reassign her to Celia. Celia knew how important it was to Dimple to win this thing. She'd work her butt off. Dimple glanced over her shoulder and saw Celia deep in conversation with one of the hipster model boys, tossing her curls and laughing throatily at a joke. Huh. Or maybe she wouldn't want to be partners anymore. Dimple turned back around to see Rishi taking a seat beside her again, his cheeks still pink. What happened? Who are we getting reassigned to?
Well, nobody,
he said, wincing a little as he met her gaze. He said it's too late now. We're just going to have to stick together.
What? Did you tell him requesting me was a mistake?
Yeah, didn't work. Dimple stood. Oh, it's going to work. I'll take care of it myself. She stalked over to Max.
I'm sorry, I absolutely need to be reassigned, she said, as soon as he met her eye, feeling slightly guilty. By doing this, Dimple was effectively saying she couldn't bear to spend a minute with Rishi. Ambition and kindness were warring inside her, and she was choosing ambition. Again. But she wanted this so badly. So, so badly. Rishi Patel knows absolutely nothing about Jenny Lind. I doubt he knows much about web development.
Max smiled. Well, we're all here to learn, Dimple.
Right, but he doesn't care about it as much as I do. I need to partner with someone who wants to win just as much.
Max stroked his beard thoughtfully. Or maybe you need someone who can teach you something, hmm? Maybe Rishi is the universe's way of teaching you how to take a breath and just roll with the punches. Oh, dear God. He was an honest-to-goodness hippie. Curse you, San Francisco. She could tell he was going to be implacable, so Dimple forced herself to nod and smile. Good point. Thanks, anyway. When Dimple returned to her seat, she tried not to bite Rishi's head off right away. She could tell he was side-eyeing her, trying to figure out how to ask. No, she finally bit out. He won't let us swap partners at this point. He sighed, and sounding genuinely sympathetic, said, That sucks. I'm sorry. Yeah. Dimple felt that familiar fury boiling inside her. The same one that flowed when Mama or Papa didn't understand why she wanted to do the things she did. Sure. I'm sure you're really sorry. There was a pause. Look, I don't get why you're so annoyed at me. We already talked about this yesterday. She could tell Rishi was trying to tamp down his own irritation. He got this little crease between his eyebrows when he was mad, Dimple noticed, and then tried to un-notice. I didn't know your parents were keeping you in the dark about all of this. Heck, I thought you'd be requesting me as your partner, too. I thought you were totally on board. So your anger is a little misplaced, don't you think? Misplaced? Dimple tried not to yell, though with the noise and activity level in the room, she doubted they could attract much attention even if they began flinging things at each other. Which definitely hadn't crossed her mind. Definitely not. Oh, I don't think so. You have no idea, do you? You don't know what this has been like. My mom and dad, they just don't get me, okay? My mom doesn't know why I want to do anything besides get married to the ideal Indian husband and settle down. She thinks college is basically just this big mating ritual. So for me to even be here is nothing short of a miracle. For me to even get this chance to follow in Jenny Lind's footsteps, to actually get a chance to talk to her about my idea, it's the stuff of my wildest fantasies. But even here, where it should just be about me and my career and the things I want to do in this world, I have to contend with you. I have to remember every single second that I have to look at you, that the only reason I'm here is because my parents expect me to finally fall in line, to become that dutiful Indian daughter they always wanted. I thought this was going to be my chance to just be me. For this whole 6 weeks, to just be about my skills and my talent and my intellect. But it turns out, the joke's on me. And you know what? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it, and it sucks. She stopped, out of breath, and pushed her glasses back higher onto the bridge of her nose. Her heart pounded, her throat was tight with anger and unshed tears, but she was determined not to let it show how close she was to crying. Rishi looked, well, the scientific term might be gobsmacked, Dimple supposed. It almost made her want to snort with laughter. His eyes were wide, his face completely frozen in shock. Yeah, she'd unleashed the fury, but she'd needed to. Problem was, with Rishi and his utter guilelessness, she felt guilty for her ferocity, for subjecting him to an entire lifetime of pent-up rage that had little to do with him. She would never admit that out loud, though. Sighing, she sat back and crossed her arms. Well, you asked, she mumbled.
Chapter 10. Rishi. Whoa.
Obviously, she'd had a lot she needed to get off her chest. Rishi didn't know quite what to say. This was all so much heavier for Dimple than it was for him. He was disappointed that she was so pointedly, decidedly against this, yes, but mostly he felt bad for his family. All the effort and hopes they'd put into this had clearly been for nothing.
Hey, he said finally, cautiously. I can see how that would suck. I had no idea. Look, I'll leave. I'll go back home, and he'll have to reassign you. Maybe you can be in a group of three with someone.
Dimple looked at him, slightly disbelievingly.
You do that. For me.
Sure, Rishi shrugged. It means way more to you than it ever did to me. And, you know, I get it. This is your passion.
You won't get a refund,
she said sharply, and he tried not to laugh at the suspicion in her voice.
It's okay, he said. My parents are totally cool with me going home early. I'll just finish out the day and tell Max I have a family emergency or something.
Dimple opened her mouth to respond, but Max spoke from the front of the room, interrupting her.
I trust you all are getting to know your partners, but I want us to take this to the next level. This being our first day together, I thought we could all use a jump start on breaking the ice. I want you all to reach under your chairs.
Abuzz with curiosity, they did. Rishi looked at the contraption in his hand for a few seconds before realizing what it was.
A Polaroid camera,
Dimple said at the same time.
Wow, I think my parents have one of those in our attic.
What are we supposed to do with these?
Rishi asked, looking around the room. An obnoxious group of well-manicured people, a white girl and boy, and an Indian boy, were already trying to take pictures of one another. One of the boys, the white one, seemed to be paired with Celia, he saw.
Okay, boys and girls, Max said again from the front of the room. For those of you who may not know, you hold in your hands a forgotten treasure. This is the Polaroid camera, and as an amateur photographer, I find it to be one of the most honest artistic mediums for the capture of everyday moments. I want you to go forth and capture a few such moments today. To that end, I've come up with a few items for your photo scavenger hunt.
He began to pass out sheets of paper with enumerated lists on them.
You'll see I've given each team a sheet with 5 items on it. I want you to capture all 5 items and bring your photos back to class in 2 hours. It is my hope that you will all get to know your partners much better this way than if we were all just sitting in this horrendous recycled air, firing questions at each other. The only rule is, no collaboration with any other teams. The teams who successfully complete this exercise will be awarded 10 extra points toward their final score in InsomniaCon.
A buzz went around the room. Max made a shooing motion with his hands and spoke louder.
Off you go! Good luck! I'll be outside napping in my hammock. Just wake me when you're back.
Rishi looked at Dimple as they both got up. She looked about as pleased as he felt. Her lips were pursed tight, her eyes fixed longingly on Celia's retreating back. As he followed her out, he said,
If you want, I could bow out now.
She slowed down so they could walk outside together and nibbled on her bottom lip.
No,
she said finally, looking up at him.
Let's do this thing together.
Rishi frowned, not sure what was up with the total change of mood.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Dimple took a deep breath and looked at him.
It's really cool of you to volunteer to bow out. Not a lot of people would do that.
And then she smiled a smile so dazzling, Rishi tripped over his own feet.
Dimple. Are you okay? Dimple reached out to grab his arm, but Rishi steadied himself against the wall and blushed a bright and furious red. Yeah, fine, he said, not meeting her eye. Shoelaces? He added vaguely, looping the Polaroid camera strap around his neck. They walked along in relative silence, their classmates melting off onto various paths and striding over grass to go to the places where their pictures beckoned. It was cool enough, in spite of the sun, that Dimple had to pull her hoodie tighter around her. She glanced sideways at Rishi through her curls, feeling like a jerk. She'd really unleashed a bunch of crap on him, and he'd been so adult about it, so empathetic. Dimple really wished she could do this icebreaker thing with someone else, someone she'd be working with for the rest of this project. But asking him to leave right away would just be cruel. It was like saying she couldn't stand to be around him for the length of a stupid project. And given how decent he'd been, there was no need for that. So she'd deal. It wasn't like he was bad company, from the little she'd seen of him anyway. Okay,
Dimple glanced down at the list as they meandered toward a patch of green field where a few students were tossing around a football. Our list is funny, water, yellow, blur, and Buddha. She looked up. Where do you want to start? Rishi grinned. Definitely with Buddha. Come on, check this out. He quickened his pace, the Polaroid camera bouncing against his chest, and Dimple hurried to keep up. Want to tell me where we're going? Oh, you'll see, my friend, he said happily. Dimple shook her head. All right, she said slowly. Hey, what's that on your T-shirt? His jacket was unbuttoned, and the graphic on his T-shirt was only just visible. It looked like a comic drawing of a young Indian boy in an embroidered kurta holding something, a sword, above his head. Rishi colored a little, but she couldn't tell if that was from the pace they were keeping or her question. Just a comic book character. Dimple rolled her eyes. You're pretty cryptic today, aren't you? Obviously, I know it's a comic book character. I meant which one? Rishi glanced at her sideways. You know comics? Yeah, just the major ones. Wonder Woman is sort of my girl crush. He smiled. Yeah, she's cool. Glancing down at his shirt, he opened his jacket a bit more. Dimple could see now that the boy held a golden gada, or mace, in one hand, not a sword. This is Aditya, Rishi said, a smile cupping his words. He's a young Indian superhero who draws his power from the sun. I based him vaguely on Hanuman, hence the gada. I was a huge Hanuman fanboy growing up. My mom used to make me watch those Ramayana series with her on the Hindi channel when I was little. Aditya is one of my earliest creations from about 3 years ago. I was so proud of him, I had him put on a T-shirt. He snorted. Wait. You drew him? Like, from scratch? Dimple ogled the drawing, the rich detail of the boy's brocade kurta and pants, the intricate metalwork on the gada. That's amazing! And you were, what, 15? Rishi nodded. He barely met her eyes when he spoke, but there was a blooming happiness in his voice that belied how pleased he was at her compliments. Yeah, making my own comics was the big thing back then. I had a little studio space set up in my room and everything. What do you mean, back then? You don't do it anymore? He shrugged as they came to a light and then began to cross the street. The air was getting mistier, heavier. Rishi's words got muffled. I don't know. I guess when I have the time, which isn't very often these days. Dimple pulled her hoodie up. But why? I mean, you obviously love it and you're good at it. She couldn't wrap her head around it. She lived and breathed coding. She couldn't imagine giving it up for anything. He laughed a little, but there was something guarded about it, like there were things he was keeping hidden away in a mental lockbox. It's not the most practical pursuit. Art is a nice side hobby for when you have the time, but it's not something you pursue for itself. A pause and then stupid fog. Carl, Dimple confirmed distractedly. Apparently San Franciscans name their weather patterns. They rounded the corner and Rishi began to slow down. But anyway, I just don't believe that, Dimple said. So what if your art's not practical? If you love it, you should do it. What's the point of anything otherwise? She nearly ran into him when he stopped. Surprised, she looked up at the peeling green facade of an ancient-looking store tucked among many other abandoned-seeming shops. Wanda's World Treasures, the hand-painted sign out front said. What is this place? This is where we'll find Buddha, Rishi said, grinning as he pulled open the door for her.
Chapter 11 Rishi The smell of sandalwood and cloves enveloped them like a soft, unfurling curtain. The wind chimes on the door sang gently, and Rishi found himself nervous. He wanted Dimple to like this place, he realized. To be honest, they could have found a statue of Buddha in virtually any store around campus. This was San Francisco, after all.
But he'd specifically dragged her over here to see this, to delight in it. Rishi wanted to give her a reason to smile, but he wasn't sure if